This podcast is sponsored by GoToMeeting at GoToMeeting.com.
You're listening to Success Unwrapped with Heather Vail.
Welcome to Success Unwrapped with Heather Vail, the weekly radio talk show where we unwrap and reveal the secrets that successful people use, and you can too.
Available at SuccessUnwrappedRadio.com.
Do you find when you're doing online business that email and voicemail just aren't enough? These days, web conferencing is really a must if you're going to do online business. And in fact, even if you just want to communicate with your friends and family, it could be a solution for you there too. GoToMeeting's Web Conferencing Center really fills all the needs for a web conferencing center at one low price. If you want to get your free trial, it's good for 45 days. Just go to gotomeeting.com/podcast. That's gotomeeting.com/podcast to try web conferencing free for 45 days.
My special guest this week is Shelby Collinge, an author, spiritual teacher, and master of mindset and limiting beliefs. She has trained and spoken in front of tens of thousands of people and helped them identify limits and barriers to their success and awaken their inner genius faster. She's the president and CEO of Limitless Possibilities, Inc., an organization she founded to help people who are looking for solutions to why things are not working, fixing the cause instead of just the symptoms. Shelby, thanks for being here to help us unwrap the power of the mind on Success Unwrapped.
Thanks, Heather. It's a pleasure being here.
Could you let us know how exactly you got started on this whole journey towards investigating mind power and then helping other people discover it as well?
Sure. And it's one, you know, it's a journey that you probably wouldn't think of. So I started my career, believe it or not, right out of school. I went to school to be a psychologist. So I have a degree in developmental psychology, and I've always been very interested in the mind and what we do. And when I was younger, I thought I wanted to know about people's problems. And then, you know, as the economy would have it, when I graduated school, I realized I either needed to go another 4 years and get a doctorate and become a quote-unquote psychologist, or needed to figure out exactly what I wanted to do. And I decided that I didn't have the desire to keep going for another 4 years, and so I got into sales. What does someone do when they want to know about people's minds? I guess they go into sales. So I went into sales and started, I mean, that's somewhere I just really blossomed. It was an area where I got to work one-on-one with people, and I got to listen, which was something that I was very attracted to. Obviously, it's a psychology background. It was a gift or a curse, depending on how you look at it, that people really like to share with me what's going on. And so at a young age, I just thought, you know, if people are always going to tell me all their problems, I might as well get paid for this, right? Well, sales is kind of a bit the same thing. Somebody's got a need, and if you listen to them well enough, then you fill it, and then the need's gone. So sales was a natural fit, and I did that for many, many years and was very, very successful. I sold high-tech software in the high-tech, boom of the 90s and early 2000s, and really never fit well in place with the corporate climate and the political, you just have to kind of do things just because. I was really an overproducer always, and so for the most part, they tried to leave me alone, but the more successful you got, the more they wanted out of you, and the more they wanted out of you, the more they wanted to limit the one-on-oneness, the relationship piece that I really needed and craved. So I said, you know, this just wasn't for me, and started went into business for myself, and I'll have it be known that everybody in my family, my friends, of course, the people I had worked for in the corporate world for many, many years absolutely thought I was crazy to quit doing what I'm really good at to do something that I've never done before. And, you know, whether or not, I mean, this says anything, I was at a very pivotal point in my life where I had to start deciding if I wanted to live for what I wanted to do or for what other people wanted me to do. Because I really think up until that point, I really did a lot of what other people wanted me to do. I was having a bit of fun at it. I didn't enjoy my career by the time I left. And I was making great money, and that was a lesson, too, to learn that all the money in the world still doesn't make you happy and want to get out of bed in the morning. And really just having all of these different circumstances. I'm also a single mom, and realizing one day that there was a reason that I had manifested all of these really big, life-changing pivotal points, and just said, you know what, there's got to be something easier, better, faster, and I'm just going to lead my own way. And that manifested into, like I said, starting one job right out of the corporate world, doing a corporate gift-giving business, and then saying, okay, I really didn't like this, and changing and changing and changing, and writing a previous book on the 25 Rules to Relationship Marketing and how to profit from them, and getting more into the relationship piece. And it's just kept manifesting until it really, I got clear on my love and my passion, which was getting to that core belief. It wasn't about doing something for someone. It wasn't about seeking a solution for someone. It was saying, okay, what's in your way from what you want? What can, you know, what's the story you're telling yourself that keeps you from making that extra 20 grand a year? Or keeps you from going to that networking event? Or keeps you from talking to that person that you really want to meet? Because the more we tend to look there, we don't have to make the big changes on the outside. They happen for us. And I just learned, luckily, early on in life, that when you make change on the inside, the change on the outside happens. Life's the reflection. And I just learned that early enough to say, well, if life's the reflection, if life is manifestations of what I'm thinking, then if I go to the thinking level, I'm going to change the reflection. And lo and behold, that's the absolute truth, as you well know, Heather. When we go to look on the inside and make those changes and really focus on what we want, then that's what shows up. And so I'm lucky in the fact that, you know, I've figured it out, and really that has come. Do not let me not make the point. By really doing what I didn't want to do first. It was trying it and saying, this isn't it, and kept trying, and nope, this isn't quite it yet either, and kept trying. And the more I did that, the more people said, oh, you know what, you should just go back to high tech. You're never going to make this work. And that's what a lot of us do. We have that want, desire, goal, intention, call it what you like, and we start on it, and that first roadblock or resistance, or it just doesn't fall into place, like we somehow think that it's going to, and then we stop. And I was doing an interview not too long ago, and I said, you know, where is it emulated, the perfect? I mean, who's got the life that we're all trying to strive for? We're all trying to strive for lots of money, lots of success, ultra thin, the whole bit. But who's really living that happily? I mean, that's so amazing to me that as a society we're striving for something that no one is. And yet we're all just striving to not be who we are and running away from the things that we possibly don't like about ourselves. And so it's really my passion and my purpose to kind of get people acquainted with the beliefs that they have. Because a lot of us are just going on day to day. We're really not even conscious of the words that we're using, the thoughts that we have. And the more we kind of tune in, then the easier life gets, the more intuitive it gets, the more you just have to kind of show up, and life just happens for you. It's not something you have to do. Boy, that was a really long answer.
Yeah, and there was a lot of directions in that that I'd like to follow up on, but the main thing that sticks out for me is everybody wants to find their passion. Everybody wants to follow what they're passionate about and to actually make a living at it. But most people fall prey to what you described, where number one, the friends and family are saying, you're crazy, go back to this safe job where you know you can make money. Mm-hmm. And number two, our ego starts telling us the same thing, you're crazy, you're never going to make this work, go back to this. And we cling to these safety nets because it's easier. And a lot of the times, people just don't end up finding that passion and that drive because they don't have that quality that you had to look at your friends and family and say, I don't care what you're telling me. I'm going to do this anyway, regardless of how stupid it looks, regardless of how crazy it looks, regardless of the fact that it looks like I'm making way less money and I'm never going to make it work. So how do we find that fortitude to kind of come back to all the naysayers and say, I don't care, I'm doing it?
Well, I mean, that's such a great question. And the answer is going to be hopefully profound for a lot of those listening. But it really boils down to knowing and truly embodying the fact that you are 100% responsible for the results that you get in every area of your life. I mean, really, that's the key to it all, is to know that there's no other person, place, thing, experience, call it whatever you like, that's in your way but you. And although I didn't know that at a conscious level, I must have known it on a soul level, on a spiritual level, you know, many years ago when I decided to break free, that, hey, if I'm not willing to believe in myself, who else will? I mean, it's like we sit here saying, you know, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do this, but yet we don't. It's period, end of statement. It's like, what do you expect to happen? If you don't take the risk on you, if you don't believe enough, it really comes down to we don't trust ourselves. As a society, we really do believe that someone else will make a better choice for us. And where I'm different than the most is people call me and ask me to tell them what to do, and I don't. You know, I don't know what you should do. You know what you should do. Now, you may not want to tell yourself. You may not want to admit to yourself that you know what to do. And that's my job. My job is to get you to admit to yourself, hear yourself say it, call it whatever you like, really have that experience. You know what to do. And to really start to have people to step into that power and say, you know what? The sooner we can start making decisions for ourselves, really that make us feel good, the feelings are the key. If you do something and it makes you feel good, it cannot be wrong for you, truly. It's when we do something and then we feel guilt, that can't get us anything but more guilt. Or when we feel like, oh, I'm not good enough, all of these feelings are what we're thinking about most of the time. And so we have to start realizing that we are 100% responsible for the results that we get. And that means that if I don't like my finances, or I don't like my current health situation, or I don't like my business where it is, I'm the only one who can change that. And there's no amount of marketing and email campaigning and blasting or anything else that's going to bring the clients in until you are in alignment with the feeling of having clients and the worthiness of having clients. And so we really need to start saying, you know what, instead of taking action on the outside, we need to start looking at the beliefs on the inside. And so I believe manifestation is a four-step process, and it starts with our beliefs, and the beliefs that we have lead to the thoughts that we think, and the thoughts that we think lead to the feelings that we have, and the feelings that we have lead to the actions that we take. And a lot of us like to make change on that outside action level, which is why we go to seminars and we like to read lots of books and CDs. And this is why we want someone to tell us what to do, because it's always better to blame someone else than to say, I made that decision. And that's just something I learned to own really early on. I'm the one who has to look at me in the mirror in the morning. And if I'm the one who doesn't want to go into a corporate environment and make someone else gazillions of dollars who's trying to make me spend less time, do things less, then that's my choice. And no matter what anybody else thinks, they're not the one who has to look at myself in the mirror. I'm 100% responsible. So my need to make myself happy first is far larger than a lot of other people. A lot of people are still in that they want to make others happy, especially the moms. Because that's just something we really instinctively have about us, is that we've got to protect everybody else and we've really got to, you know, watch the herd. And I know as a single mom, I'm the same way. And really, if there's one thing I try to teach people, Heather, it's to be selfish. It's to really look out for us. Because if I'm no good, if I'm not giving enough to me, then I can't help anyone else. I can't give a good interview. I can't work with clients well. I can't be a good mom. I can't be a good listener. So the more I take care of me, the more I'm available to everyone else. And so it really comes back to just being 100% willing that I'm going to feel good at all costs and I'm going to do what really feels right to me and begin to trust myself. You know, I do know what I should be doing. We all do. And this is the struggle because one side of us says, you know what, you want to do this. You're good at this. You would have so much fun doing this. And then you've got that side, that tribal mind piece that says, no way, you can't make money this way. It's got to be hard. You can't do what you love and make money. Money doesn't grow on trees like that. It's not easy. Success is hard. Four out of five businesses fail. I mean, all of that starts coming up. And then we're froze. So I think if people begin to really realize that it's so empowering to realize that there's nothing you have to do but get out of your own way. And I often tell clients, because we're in this societal mind of you've got to be doing. You know, if you set the intention that you want more business or you want a thinner body, then, you know, you've got to work out a gazillion times a day and you've got to do all of these things when really there's just beliefs that say, you know, like I say, I taught a class not too long ago, and I said, how many of you have the belief that it's better to be thin than fat? And all the hands go up. And there's a lot of people in a lot of other areas of the world where fat's not bad. In fact, you know, sumo wrestlers, the fatter they are, the more respected they are. So being as though there's someone else that has a belief that fat is good, I ask, why do you choose maybe the belief that thin is better? Or it's just really important to realize that everything that we do, say, think is nothing but a belief. And probably, more than likely, it's not even your own belief. It's one that someone gave to you or handed down. And so when clients, you know, begin to finally start to take a look, they say, oh my gosh, where did I learn that? And it's like, well, that's the beliefs that we have, Heather, believe it or not, 98% of them aren't true. And all of them we've gotten from about the age of 7 and younger. It's not even something that's happened. You know, we all think the crisis that happened to us last year is what put us over the edge. And that crisis from last year is just that belief showing itself that you picked up when you were knee-high on something that happened with mom and dad or something a spiritual teacher or a clergyman told you or a teacher, somebody that you looked up to said, you know, it's, you know, don't give things away, don't share, don't do this. And you just said, oh, okay. And that's one you took and just never let go of and you make it true. And it's something that we need to kind of break out of and start to say, okay, maybe I just want to take a quick look. Because the proof that you have blocks is in whether or not you're getting what you want in all areas of your life. And if you're not, then that's your proof. That's your proof that to get to that next spot, there's some belief, and it's limiting, that's far stronger than your belief in the believability of it.
You can visit Shelby's website at shelbycollinge.com. That's shelbycollinge.com.
And I hope you've enjoyed the first segment of our interview. But it's not over. There's a full 200% more than what you just heard, where we delve deeper into these success principles. To unwrap the full interview and get lots more tools for success, just sign up to become a Success Unwrapped member on any level you choose at successunwrapped.com/members.
This has been Success Unwrapped with Heather Vail.
Be sure to tune in to the next edition of Success Unwrapped, helping you to unwrap and discover your own potential for success. Until next time, keep unwrapping. I'm Heather Vail.
Business Podcast is part of the Blueberry Network at blueberry.com. That's spelled B-L-U-B-R-R-Y.com.